The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
And then in James 4, he says one reason you don't receive anything is you never ask. And another is when you do ask, you ask selfishly. In James 4:4, he says, "You spiritual adulteresses, don't you know the friendship with the world is enmity with God? He that be a friend of the world is yet making himself an enemy of God." In James 4, he says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin." And in one of the most resplendent passages in this little 5-chapter book, he says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And he said, you're not to say, here's what I'm going to do. Today and tomorrow I'll go into such a city, and there I'll buy and sell and get gain. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do thus and so. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 26:42, "Not my will, but thine be done." In John 6:38, he said, "I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." And in John 17:4, he prayed, "I've glorified thee upon the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do." We're on earth not to do our own will, but to do the Lord's will. Too many Epicureans still live today who say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But God still calls reasoning like that foolish. Luke chapter 12. And in James chapter 5, he warns rich men who gain their riches by withholding proper hire from their laborers. He said, you think you have it made, but you're like the cattle out there on those hills who are eating, grazing contentedly today, but their necks are going to be chopped off tomorrow. And then in James 5, he says, you need to remember that the judge stands before the door. The Lord is always there. And thus you're not to swear by heaven or earth. You're just to do his will. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, to quote Matthew 5:37 and the Sermon on the Mount. Also in James chapter 5, he tells us that we're to restore the erring. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. He gives some practical exhortations. Is any merry among you? Let him sing psalms. We need to know how to sing praises unto God. And then we have the passage that some count very difficult about calling for the elders of the church if a man is sick and having them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the Lord shall raise him up. I cannot believe that men are so simple as to say that the oil in that passage had to do with just a medicinal remedy, that it was a medicine that he was asking to be put upon the people. If so, we better find where that medicine is and buy a barrel of it, because whenever it was applied in the appointed way here, there never was a failure. And I'll guarantee if a doctor had some of that medicine, there'd only be one doctor in the world and everybody would go to him. He'd never have a failure. It says, you do this, you anoint him with oil, and the Lord shall raise him up. Didn't say might. Didn't say he would a lot of the times. It said he shall raise him up. There's only one thing that passage could possibly apply to, and that's the miraculous age of the New Testament church. When men had miraculous power by the laying on of their hands to heal people. And he was saying as long as that existed, you call the elders of the church, they will anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now notice, and the prayer of faith shall heal him. Faith was a supernatural gift in the miraculous age. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says so. And while that miraculous gift existed and men followed this pattern, and the purpose of miracles was to confirm the word, there never was a lost case. But that power ceased when the word of God was fully revealed. And so in a practical way, that passage does not pertain directly to us today. The principle, though, of relying upon the Lord and saying the Lord's will be done still exists. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Let me give you one passage or two that forever prove the spiritual application of anointing with oil, that it had to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Mark 6, as the apostles were sent out to miraculously heal They were to precede that miraculous healing by anointing with oil. And Hebrews chapter 1 speaks of the anointing of oil as having an attachment to the power of the Holy Spirit. The book of James is a very practical book. And may we remember pure religion, faith in works, the proper use of our speech, the positive nature of doing right, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it sin, and the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. These are great points from the rich little book of James.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.